Hi, welcome back to Agent Insider. I'm your host, Andy Jewell. Thanks for taking some time to join me today. Today, I wanted to chat with you guys a little bit about liability insurance and umbrella insurance. So umbrella insurance is not a insurance to have anything to do with your umbrellas. I get a lot of snide remarks when I talk to people about umbrella insurance. I live in the Northwest, and so we do use a lot of umbrellas, but it really has nothing to do with that and nothing to do with your insurance when it comes to your umbrellas. The idea is really, it's kind of funny because we call car insurance, auto insurance, home insurance is home insurance or fire insurance or dwelling insurance. So we're describing what we're covering, and then we use umbrella insurance as a metaphor, and that's the actual name of the policy. It's, you know, buy an umbrella policy, but it has nothing to do with umbrellas. It probably would be better to just call it comprehensive personal liability. I guess maybe that's a mouthful, so that's why we call it umbrella insurance. But that's the idea of an umbrella policy. So oftentimes when I'm meeting with customers or meeting with clients and we talk about the liability insurance, which I always tell people, it is the most important part of your insurance is your liability. The idea of your car insurance, like you get in an accident, your car gets wrecked. If the insurance company doesn't pay for it, if the insurance company, if you dropped comprehensive and collision, so there's no coverage on the vehicle itself, and you go, man, I lose a $30,000 or $50,000, and it could be a $100,000 car. You're like, that sucks. And it does. Don't get me wrong. Losing $100,000, like, I don't have $100,000 I want to just throw away either. But that's actually not your biggest exposure. Your biggest exposure is liability. Because when it comes to your car, you know the finite value of your vehicle. And so if worst case scenario, the vehicle gets totaled out, you know what the total amount of loss would be to you. But you don't know what the damage to the other person is going to be. And you don't know what those medical expenses could be. You don't know how much that other person makes and is going to have in lost wages that you need to, that you're going to be on the hook to compensate them for. So that's really why liability is your biggest exposure. So I tell people to think about it this way. If you get into an accident and it's your fault, let's just assume that you're sliding on ice because everybody thinks they're a good driver. Even bad drivers think they're good drivers. And so nobody thinks they're going to get in an accident. That's their fault. But if you slide on ice, black ice, it's your fault because that's just the way the law works. And you T-bone somebody and it was a doctor on his way to work. He's a neurosurgeon and he makes $250,000 a year. Your auto insurance has a maximum amount of coverage that they're going to pay out. So it's going to be like, depending on the state, there's a minimum, which would be in Washington, it's $25,000 of bodily injury coverage per person. Other states, I think California has like 15,000. So each state has its own minimum liability. And then there's going to be a maximum that the insurance companies are going to offer. Usually that's going to be 250,000 or 500,000. Some will go up to $1 million on the base policy. Whatever that maximum is, if you're wherever you're buying in it, if that coverage that you bought, so let's say a lot of people buy 100,000 per person, 300,000 per accident. And that coverage has been a standard coverage that I've seen used since I've been in insurance in for 19 years. But it's really actually been, that's been a standard amount of coverage that people have bought since the 80s. My dad did insurance in the 80s, and that's what they were selling in the 80s. So you have that coverage, you think you're all right, but that doctor can't work for, let's say he goes back to work, but he's out of work for 2 or 3 years. And he has a bunch of medical bills that are, you know, $1 million to $2 million of medical bills because he had surgery and he had recovery periods and he had all kinds of physical therapy. And so he has a very substantial amount of medical bills, plus he has lost wages. And your insurance company, in good faith, calls him up and says, hey, Dr. Smith, we're sorry that you got hurt. Our customer was at fault. We understand that because it's already been proven in either in court or through a traffic investigation. And so we're going to offer you $100,000 the doctor's not going to take the $100,000 unless you had nothing, right? Now, he's going to call his lawyer, and this is typically what happens. The lawyers get involved. They're going to, through public disclosures and public records, they can find out so much about you. And then they look and say, what do you own? What do you have as assets? And then if your assets are significantly more than the amount of insurance that the insurance company is offering to pay out on your behalf, they're going to sue you because they're getting a percentage typically of whatever that lawsuit is. So the bigger the payout is to the lawyers, the more money they make. So they want the maximum payout. The lawyer wants what, or the doctor who got injured wants what's due to him. And then your assets are now exposed. So that's the way they're going to look at it. So I always tell people, if you own nothing, then that's fine. You're not going to get sued. But if you own things, or if you make good income yourself, your wages could be garnished. So what you want to think about is you want to add up all of your assets, right? So you want to add up your equity in your home, investments. You want to add up any properties you own and equity in other investment properties you have. And then you usually want to take about 2.5 times your annual income. Now, some of those might vary a little bit depending on what state you're in as to how much of your income they can garnish. But that's a pretty good, because usually what they can do is they can garnish 25% of your wages for 10 years. And that's going to be 2.5 times your income. So you want to add all that up. And if you go, hey, I got like $2 or $3 million worth of assets and my wage, my earnings, my income is part of my assets, then your base policy is not going to be enough. And you want to look at an umbrella policy. The umbrella policy is going to cover over the liability of your auto insurance and your home insurance. And typically any other things that you own. So if you own a boat, you would list that on the umbrella policy. So the liability for your umbrella would extend to your boat. It will extend to rental properties that you own. So you want to make sure that you have everything on that umbrella policy. So that way your biggest exposure, which is a lawsuit, is taken care of. And I'll tell people that it's like, if you go, man, I don't know if I can afford the umbrella. I don't know if I can afford an extra, you know, $200-$400 a year for that umbrella policy for another million. I'll say, well, then maybe we should increase your deductible on your home insurance. Maybe you take comp and collision off of that vehicle that's paid off, because your liability exposure is what will bankrupt you. And this is, I know I've said this before on the show, but I'll say it again. You want to insure for things you can't afford. So in general, right, if you could afford to pay for it, and it sucks, maybe you want to transfer that risk to the insurance company, but maybe you're okay and say, you know what? In the eventuality that that happens, I can pay for it. It sucks, but I can pay for it. And I use the example of when I bought a cell phone and they wanted to sell me insurance on my cell phone. I was like, no, I don't need to pay the extra $6 a month for that, because if I break my cell phone, it will suck, but I know I could afford to go buy a new cell phone, so I'm not going to insure it. What I couldn't afford to do is rebuild my house if my house burned down. So I'm going to insure my house for fire. But I also recognize that if there's a windstorm and it rips my gutters off and that costs me $3,000, that sucks. But I'm not going to turn in a claim because, again, I could afford that. So I'll go buy new gutters and have them put on. So I'll carry a higher deductible, I guess is what I'm saying, is like you can leverage different parts of your insurance. So that way you're protected against the things you can't afford to deal with on your own that could bankrupt you, that would ruin you financially, but you don't worry about, I need to make sure every little detail is covered, because you can take some of that risk yourself. Take the risk on the things that you can deal with. Don't take risk on the things that would financially ruin you. That's the concept, I guess, big picture, big idea that I would say when it comes to insurance. You want to make sure that you have the big issues covered. And that's where an umbrella policy comes in. The umbrella policy is what protects you from being sued if you're involved in something that was your fault. Typically, it's going to be an accident, but it could be a dog bite. It could be something where you have somebody get hurt on your property, a slip and fall, and they could sue you because you didn't have proper handrails, you didn't properly salt your sidewalk or clear your sidewalk of snow or ice, or it was slippery because it was when it rained and you didn't have something set up there. There's lots of scenarios that we see often that come up that people never planned on. If you nobody plans on getting sued, that's not what I don't start out my day like, well, what am I going to do today? Well, how can I set myself up for a lawsuit? Nobody's planning on it. Everybody's trying to avoid lawsuits, but they still happen, and they happen more often than you think. If you're not convinced, go to a phone book, which is ancient and nobody uses it. But if you flip through a phone book, most of those ads are going to be injury lawyers. If you're driving down the freeway, shoot, man, you go through, depending on the state, again, some states have more laws and regulations around billboards, but you go through like Arizona and Nevada, where they have a lot of billboards. And I swear 90% of those billboards are injury lawyer billboards. And my kids came home from college or going to college in Phoenix, and they came home and they're singing some of the little tunes or that they the slogans that they see of some of those injury lawyers up there, because it's so they know the guy's number because they see it so often. If the lawyers are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars from one law firm a year on advertising, it's not for no reason. It's not just because they want to be famous in their local community. It's because there's a lot of opportunity to sue people, and they're making a lot of money off of doing that. So you just want to make sure that you have the right protection, that if something happens, something goes wrong, something unexpected, that you don't have to worry about being sued. Let the insurance company worry about it. The other thing I did want to make mention of was we're thinking about and talking about umbrella policies, liability limits, things like that. I had a customer ask me, they said, hey, are there differences on claims adjusters? And I said, yes, there are. And I see this on the backside with insurance companies. If there's an umbrella policy, they're going to look, the insurance adjusters, first thing they look at when there's a major claim, they're going to say, how much is our potential for total loss? How much could we lose? And then they elevate it based on that amount. So if you don't have an umbrella, they go, okay, the max amount we're going to lose on this is $250,000. It goes to adjuster class B, right, or C. And then if they go, okay, you have an umbrella policy, we need to move that up to a higher level of an adjuster, or depending on the size of your umbrella, it will go straight to a legal team to be reviewed, because they don't want to screw something up and pay out more money than they have to. And they know they have that more of that money that's available to be paid out. So they want to make sure that it's handled well and it's handled quickly and it's handled in a compliant way that doesn't open up to technicalities creating a bigger lawsuit. So it does matter just from that perspective as well, that if you have more coverage, you're getting the A-team, if you will, when it comes to a claim scenario where it could be a potential big claim. They definitely get their best team on it as quickly as possible, because the insurance company is incentivized to make sure it doesn't go crazy as well. Anyways, so long-winded explanation on umbrella policies. I hope that's helpful. I think it's really important and something that people don't think about very often. They're becoming more common, but I would still say probably half or three quarters of the people that I talk to don't have umbrellas. They don't understand an umbrella policy, and they don't realize what kind of exposure they have and how they're exposing themselves to potentially a major lawsuit that could have been avoided by spending a few hundred bucks more on an umbrella policy. And typically, like I said, if the dollar amounts was like, oh, I don't know if I want to spend that. A lot of times, if you sit with your agent, they can work with you to lower other areas of cost. Like I said, deductibles, coverages that might be more of a convenience coverage than a necessity coverage. And then leverage those dollars for the umbrella policy instead. So that way you're not exposed. So if you have assets, I would definitely, if you own something, if you're in a higher income position in your work, definitely take some time, figure out what your assets are. If you haven't done this before, I would take your pencil, paper, sit down, write out your assets, all of your equity and in your properties and what you own, investments, and then evaluate, do I really have enough coverage? Because you don't want to get stuck where you're getting your wages garnished because you were cheaping out on your insurance. My sister worked with a guy who retired, and he'd worked two jobs his entire career, and everyone just thought he was a workaholic or greedy. And when he retired and he was able to quit both jobs, he's like, no, I can retire now because when I was younger, I didn't carry very much insurance, and I got into a serious accident. I was sued, and my wages have been garnished my entire life. So his entire working career, he was paying out 25% of his wages to pay off the settlement. And so he worked two jobs, not because he was greedy, but because that's what it took for him to be able to have enough income after his wages were garnished to provide for his own family. So it's definitely one of those things. It's nothing that's planned on. Nobody thinks it's going to happen to them, but it happens to people every day. So be aware of it. Be smart about it. Make sure that you protect yourself against the things you can't afford to take care of on your own. All right, guys. Hopefully that's helpful. Hopefully that's something that is useful to you, or share it with somebody that doesn't understand the concept of liability insurance or an umbrella policy. If you guys have questions, feel free to email me. You can email me at theagentinsider@gmail.com. If there's a topic that you want to talk about, we'll put it on our list of things. If it's business related or insurance related, definitely make sure that we try to address that through one of our episodes. Look forward to hearing from you guys. Hope you have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.